Work very hard, like me. Yeah, we're gonna have barbecue later, so let's stay around after the service. This morning sermon this morning. Who remembers last week's sermon? Can anyone tell me? What did I preach last week? What's the main topic? Obviously, we preach Zephaniah 1, right? First chapter. But what's the main message? Nobody remembers? So that means either I preach very bad or you guys didn't pay attention. So I preach about the day, right? The day of the Lord. And the first chapter is all about declaration. Zephaniah declare that this day is coming. And I talk about the multiple fulfillment of prophecies. And it can mean the downfall of Jerusalem in 587 BC. It could mean the second downfall of Jerusalem in AD 70. It could mean the coming of Christ, the first advent, or it can also mean the second coming, the parousia, the judgment day. And it can mean the judgment day for us too, the day we die, the day disasters may strike us. So knowing that the day of the Lord is always there and can always come anytime that God desires, what should we do? So this chapter is about, last chapter is about declaration, and this chapter is about admonition. Zephaniah rebukes his audience, exhorts his audience to make a change, knowing that the day is coming. What should we do? Let's pray before we start the message. Oh Lord Jesus, you are a meek person. You are a gentle and humble king. Now we have joined this kingdom through faith, and we shall become like you, gentle and humble and meek. Teach us today, Lord, therefore, how to be a meek person. Speak to each one of us. Convict us and convert us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, after the warning, strong warning in last chapter, in this chapter, Zephaniah started with a calling. He called Israelites to gather. Gather together, yes. Gather, O shameless nation. Be prepared. You better do this now before it's too late. Before the decree takes effect. Before the day passes away like chaff. Before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord. Before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. When I read this verse this week, and I, you know, you remember this, the first two days of this week, it was really hot. Remember that? 110 degrees. If you walk outside, you feel like your skin is burned without doing anything. I was thinking about this message. Before this burning anger comes upon each one of us, what should we do? And this is what Zephaniah says. Seek the Lord. O you humble of the land, who do his just commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. For Gaza shall be deserted, and Ashkelon shall become a desolation. Ashdod's people shall be driven out at noon, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Here four cities of Philistines are mentioned. The fifth was not mentioned, probably because it was already under the Jewish control. So all these enemy cities will be utterly destroyed. If you remember, Philistines are the people, the sea people. They live on the seaside of Palestine. Woe to you, inhabitants of the seacoast, you nation of the Carthites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you until no inhabitants is left. Carthites are the people who live alongside the Philistines. So these are the nations who live on the west side of Israel, on the coastline. And you, O seacoast, shall be pastures, with meadows for shepherds and folds for flocks. The seacoast shall become the possession of the remnant of the house of Judah, on which they shall graze. So, though these Philistine cities will become desolate, they will also become the pastures for the shepherds and flocks of the remnant of the house of Judah. And in the houses of Ashkelon, they shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will be mindful of them and restore their fortunes. So even though the house of Judah will suffer disasters, there will be some remnants. And who are these remnants? And remember what verse 3 says. The remnants are those who humble, are those who seek the Lord, are those who do God's just commands, who seek righteousness, and who seek humility. And these kind of people will become the remnants of Israel, and they shall inherit, they shall possess the enemy's land. I've heard the taunts of Moab and the revilings of the Ammonites, how they have taunted my people and made boasts against their territory. So Moabites and Ammonites are people who are boastful, who often brag about themselves, and the made boasts can be also translated as make themselves great. That means they may sometimes encroach upon or trespass into the Israelites' territories. They often take advantage of Israel, especially when they were weak. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Moab shall become like Sodom, and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a land possessed by nettles and salt pits, and a waste forever. So their fate shall be like Sodom and Gomorrah, who are destroyed by God by fire and brimstone. And you remember, Lot is one person who escaped from that disaster, and his wife looked back despite the angel's warning, and she became a salt pillar. So, basically, Zephaniah is saying that Moab and Ammon will be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's quite interesting because Moab and Ammon, according to the Bible, are descendants of Lot, who escaped the disaster in Sodom. So they will end up suffering the same destruction. The remnant of my people shall plunder them, and the survivors of my nation shall possess them. Again, the remnants of Judah shall plunder Moabites and Ammonites. This shall be their lot in return for their pride, because they taunted and boasted against the people of the Lord of hosts. So this is the price they will pay for their pride. The Lord shall be awesome against them, and he will famish all the gods of the earth, and to him shall bow down each in his place all the lands of the nations. We talked about this last week. You remember all the idols pictures I showed to you, the dog temple and all kinds of idols created by us, by human beings. All these idols, images made in the, in the images of animals or in the image of human beings, and people call them gods. Also, these deities and idols will be utterly destroyed. Everyone shall eventually bow down to the true God. You also, O Cushites, shall be slain by my sword, and he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and he will make Nineveh a desolation, a dry waste like the desert. You see, Zephaniah is going around. First, he announced the doom of Israel, and then he went after the enemies on the west, the Philistines, who lived down the coastline. And then he went after Moab and Ammon, who lived on the east. And then he came after Cushite. Cushite is another name for Egypt, which is in the south of Israel, and Assyria is in the north. So he kind of went around and announced judgment on all nations surrounding Israel. And Assyria and Nineveh will become a desolation, just like the other prophet that we study, Nahum, prophesied. Herds shall lie down in her midst, all kinds of beasts, even the owl and the hedgehog shall lodge in her capitals. A voice shall hoot in the window, devastation will be on the threshold, for her cedar work will be laid bare. It's a picture of desolation. You know, these animals mentioned here, owl and hedgehogs, they are known to live close to human ruins. Basically, Nineveh will be ruined. And this is the scene after the destruction. This is the exultant city that lived securely, that said in her heart, I am, and there's no one else. What a desolation she has become. A lair for wild beasts. Everyone who passes by her hisses and shakes his fist. And basically, people will taunt Nineveh, because Nineveh used to taunt people. Now, because she's destroyed, and everyone who passes her will mock and ridicule her. Zephaniah gave us a vivid picture of people who seek God and people who don't. So here is the profile that Zephaniah has depicted for people who seek God. First, they are humble. Second, they do God's commands. Third, they seek God's righteousness. Fourth and last, they seek humility. Now, how about people who don't seek God? How about people who don't care about God? What are they like? They like to taunt people. They say reviling words to people. They like to boast. They feel very secure, like Nineveh. Hey, it's just me, no one else. And they feel self-sufficient. I don't need anyone else because I can supply everything I need. So take a look at this contrast. And the question for you is, which group do you belong? Are you on the seeking side, on the humble side, or are you on the other side? Do you say reviling words to people sometimes? Do you taunt? Do you mock people? Do you make fun of people for no reasons? Do you say things or send messages that are hurtful to other people? Do you tend to boast about yourself? Do you feel like I don't need any one of you? I'm pretty fine by myself. But what if when you're sick? What if when some bad things strike you and you need some help? Where are you going to look for help? Nineveh had no help when the city was destroyed. Do you feel self-sufficient? I have a lot of money. I have a lot of things going around for me. I don't need God. I'm fine. Think about where you are today and your character, your behavior, and your words to people often reflect which group you belong to. There's a consequence for these two groups. Depends on which group you belong to, the end result on the judgment day, even in this life, on this earth, may turn out quite different for you. Depends on which group you belong to. If you're a humble person, if you seek God, if you do the right things, you'll be hidden. According to Zephaniah, you'll be hidden from God's anger. You will take, you'll repossess the enemy's land. Even though sometimes your fortune may be taken by enemies, God will help you take them back. And God is always mindful of you because you do His will. And your fortunes will eventually be restored by God. So four promises made by Zephaniah for the people who are humble, for the people who seek God. For the other group, things are not so good. There are so many curses in this chapter. I cannot fit everything into this short paragraph. There are multiple consequences. They'll be destroyed, they'll be slain by God's sword, they'll be plundered, their land will be taken, they'll be eventually shamed. And these are the people who do not seek God, who don't care about Jesus, who don't care about this faith. And this will be the eventual consequence for them. But I don't want to look at the bad side. I want to look at the good side today. I want to focus not so much on judgment today, but I want to focus more on the blessing and the promise that's made by this prophet to those who seek God. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land who do His just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Humility, this word, can be also translated as meekness. The same word is used in the New Testament, in Matthew, the verse you read this morning. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I have been here almost 2 years. Remember the first time I was preaching here, I preached on Beatitudes, and this is one of the verses. So I hope you remember this important verse. The meek. We don't use these words a lot, right, in modern English. I don't know, people don't use it. I never heard anyone using it in daily conversation. But when you heard of this word, what does that remind you? What does that make you think of? You may think of lowly, you may think of weak, you may think of pushover, you may think of doormats or other worse words for that. You may think this is a kind of person that's easily taken advantage of. One of my old Christian brothers he used to complain to me, we Christians, we are like the pushovers. People can always take advantage of us. And the Bible tells us not to fight. He thinks it's just a bad deal for him. It's not so. Do you think the same way? Do you think in this competitive, fierce society, if you become someone meek, that you'll be taken advantage of? And something, it's not good for you. Do you think it's a bad deal? Let's study some cases in the Bible and see if it's really a bad deal. The first case to study is Isaac. Isaac, I think, is the first meek person that we encountered in the Bible. Remember, his dad wants to sacrifice him. Can you believe that? And he did not even fight. His dad tied him up. And he did not fight, according to the scripture. But we're going to look at another chapter. This is after he has grown up. Probably he didn't fight his dad because he was still a kid. But now he has grown up and he had a wife. And they lived in the land of Philistines, the people we talk about in Zephaniah. So because you remember in wilderness, and these are shepherds, they need to raise flocks. It's very important to have water, to have a well, so that you can feed your flocks. This is a source of life. So wherever you decide to settle, you need to find a well. And Isaac found a well. Actually, this well was dug by Abraham, his dad. So he used the same well to get water. But the Philistines came and say, this is our well, you go away. So Isaac did not fight with them. He probably, for whatever reason, he decided to just go away, as they said. And he named the well Esek, meaning they fight with me. The second well, he went to another place and he dug another well and water came out. And Philistines came again, say, this is ours. And so they came and took it again. And he named this a well Sidna. Eventually, he went to another third place, and he dug a well. And this time, nobody fought anymore. So he named the place Rehoboth, which means broad place. God has eventually led me to a broad place where nobody will try to take advantage of me, nobody will try to push me over, and now I can live in security. Now, the funny thing is, after these three wells, his enemy came to him. The Philistines came to him and asked for a peace treaty. They want to make peace with him. Why? If you understand the ancient culture, it's very difficult to get a well. Even in modern days, you go to Sahara, you want to find a well, it's not so easy. You have used all the latest technology, and still, it's likely you may fail. So it's a huge investment to do that digging and find water. Often the people fell. But the funny thing with Isaac, every time he got driven out by his enemies, he got pushed over by people around him, he went to a new place, he found a new well again. And the water always came out. So the enemies, they were shocked. So they came to Isaac and say, we want to make peace, because we see God's favor is upon you. Even the enemy is recognized. Something wrong with this guy. Somehow he's always blessed. So it doesn't matter how we persecute him,
he can survive. Somehow, wherever he goes, he can find water, and not so with us. That's why we always have to steal his wells, because we don't know how to find wells. But this guy always finds something. So this is the first me person in the Bible. Remember the promises made by Zephaniah to the meek people? First promise, God is mindful of them. Is God mindful of Isaac? Yes. Second, fortunes will be restored for them. Did God restore fortunes for Isaac? Yes. Third, they will take the enemy's name. Did that happen to Isaac? Yes. The enemies came for peace. And remember the verse we read this morning. This is the promise Jesus made to the meek. He said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Surely Isaac has inherited his father's land. Now he is secure. Now he has the source of life, the source of water. The second case we study is Israelites. This is a picture some people painted for the downfall of Jerusalem. Remember, in 587 BC, Jerusalem was surrounded by Babylonians. Eventually, they sacked the city, they came to the city, and took every person into exile, except some group of people. The captain of the Babylonian army came in, but he left some of the poorest of the land to stay, to be vine dressers and plowmen. Meek often is translated as lowly or poor in the Bible. These poor people are the meek people. They used to be taken advantage of, not by the Babylonians, but by their fellow Jews, by those rich Jews, those wealthy Jews living among them. But now all these wealthy Jews, they are taken into exile. And the whole city now is left to them. So let's review the few promises. Is God mindful of these poor people, these meek people? Yes. Are their fortunes restored by God? Yes. These people become poor, probably their ancestors, their parents, somehow was, you know, forced to give away their land by those wealthy, powerful Jews. And now their land is back to them. Did they take the enemy's land? Yes. Are they hidden from God's judgment? Another promise from by Zephaniah? Yes. They did not suffer that judgment. They did not go into exile. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Last case once. The two words used by Zephaniah, humble and meekness, are the same two words Jesus used to describe himself. Jesus declared, come to me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's very interesting because Zephaniah said, seek the Lord, and Jesus said, seek me. I'm the Lord that you will find meekness. I'm the one prophesied by Zephaniah. Is God mindful of Jesus? Yes, all the time. Was Jesus' fortune restored by God? Yes, not only his fortune, but his very own life. He was resurrected. Even though he suffered the greatest injustice, he's the meekest person in human history. He did all the right things. Yeah, he was wrongly accused and executed. But he was restored by God. He was resurrected. Did he take the enemy's name? Yes, us. We used to belong to the enemy. We used to belong to the devil. Now because of faith, we are moved. On that red group, I show you. To the on that counting group, to the group of humanity. We have become Jesus' possession. Jesus had repossessed the enemy's name, which is us, who believe in him. And because of that, all of us who choose to join the meek, to join Jesus the meek, we can be hidden from God's judgment. And therefore, bless our meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you are like me, that you put your faith in Jesus, you will inherit the earth. Not this earth. This earth will go away. That's what Zephaniah said. The day will come everything will dissolve. This whole thing, all the visible things will go away, but there will be new heaven and earth, and we will live in it forever, for eternity. And that's the promise to the meek. So the question for you is, are you in the meek? To be meek, we have to be like Jesus. How do we become like Jesus? There are many teachings in the Bible. Right? That's why I study this Bible. This Bible is not for us to hold and go around and ask other people to do it. That's a wrong attitude. The Bible is not for you to use it against other people. Say, hey, you're a Christian, why don't you do things in this Bible? That's wrong attitude. The right way to read the Bible is you read it and we do it. The Bible is for us to do and live. Not for us to use it to accuse and condemn and require and demand of other people. Are you a meek person? Or are you a boastful person? Do you have humility? When we meet a new person in church or in workplace, what do we say to them? What does Jesus say to a person when he meets for the first time? What's the first thing he often says? How can I do for you? What can I do for you? It is not saying, what can you do for me? So when you go around in the church, when you make new friends, what do you say to them? What do you think to yourself? What can this person do for me? No. Wrong attitude. We should think, how can I do for this person? How can I serve him or her or the church? Instead of how this person can serve me, how the church can serve me. So don't come to church as some kind of honor guests. We are not here as some kind of honor guests. We are here to honor Jesus. We are here to humble ourselves, to serve God, and to honor our Lord. That's why we are here. That's what's required to be a new person. Same thing for a corporation, for workplaces. I think I preached this before. If you're proud and boastful, you may get your way in the short run. But eventually, over the long run, people find out who you are, and the consequences will come. It's like a woman. But a meek and gentle person will eventually succeed. I've seen this so many times in corporations, in workplaces. I've seen it so many times. Reputation takes time to build. But once you have that reputation, good or bad, it's actually difficult to generate. So be careful. May God remove our pride and make us weak people, like Jesus. And we shall inherit the earth. And I have to tell you, that promise is not only true for eternity, but also true in this life. Being a mean person, sometimes you may suffer for the short run. In the long run, with God's grace and His blessing, we shall prevail. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your gentleness and humbleness. I thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in my life. I was not a meek person to start with. I was boastful, I opened brag, and I, just like Ammon and Moab in this scripture, I paid the price for my pride. So I thank you for all the lessons you have taught me. And I pray for this congregation, they don't have to go through the same lessons that I have to pay for. That you gave us your spirit. You anoint each one of us here. So we'll be gentle and humble and meek. Thank you. For those of us here who somehow still don't really care about this message, who somehow still don't care much about you, I pray that your spirit will work in them. I pray today's message will somehow sink in and they will start thinking about the consequences for these two very different groups. May we all be willing to join the humble group, to join the meek group, to be like you. This is so much blessing to be like you. So much blessing to be like you. So much blessing to be a person like you, gentle and humble in heart. Not only will that bring us blessings, but that will also enable us to bring blessings.